This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 65. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show where we focus on everything to do with fantasy books. We talk about all sorts of things: grimdark, epic fantasy, urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, horror fantasy, you name it. We deal with it by bringing you the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. Plus, we try to add in some other special guests now and then along the way, so you need to keep checking back. For this week, I'm just going to jump into my weekly update. Stolen Destiny, book 4 in my Broken Throne Urban Fantasy series, came out last Friday. If you heard last week's episode with Jack Connor, you heard me talk about that a little bit, but I'm very much still in launch mode for that book. Now there's one more book in that series that's going to come out in about 3 weeks. That's called Mended Throne, and that'll be out and complete the series all together. So all 5 books will be out there for you to get. Also, my current writing project I'm dealing with, I'm hard at work on a book for authors. I don't write a lot of nonfiction, but this particular book I'm working on talks about the various different ways we can get our books into audiobook format, which is one of the fastest growing parts of the publishing world. And it's important for especially indie authors to make sure their books are getting into audiobook as well, so that they can take part and serve that community. Because there are people who don't read paperback or ebooks, but they listen to audiobooks religiously. And so there are a whole different set of readers that we could be connecting with and sharing our stories with. And so that's what this book's about, coming together nicely. I actually hope to have a draft sometime later this week out to my collection of beta readers. I have a group of really talented writers that are excited to get their hands on it. And not just for the information, but to share back with me any additional questions that they have while reading it, because then I can make the book even more successful as far as serving their needs. As always, if you're interested in more information about what I'm up to, you can check out my fan group over on Facebook. It's called Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, or on my website and blog, jamiedavisbooks.com. And of course, I do have an author page on Facebook with some general announcements that come up there regularly. And you can find that under Jamie Davis Books as well. But I do look forward to hearing from you, so please reach out to me either on the Facebook group is probably the best way to do it. And, you know, in a Fun Fantasy Readers group, I'm in there several times a day chatting with people, looking at posts that other people have put up about the books they're reading and things like that. And I'd love to hear from you as well. Coming up on this week's interview is Catherine L. Hudson. Catherine started creating worlds on her 10th birthday. Writing fiction has been one of her constant driving forces, closely followed by reading fiction. Most of her work is fantasy, and probably mostly of the dark fantasy variety, and some sci-fi, but none of it is for the faint of heart. Catherine prefers wildly messed up characters, ones you love, but maybe wouldn't want to face in a dark alley. She has excruciating circumstances, impossible decisions, and adventures that most of the times only make things worse. Check out her books. She has Daughter of the Draken, which we talk about in this particular interview. Lots of other good stuff out there. But Catherine is also, her alter ego is wife and mother to 1 human offspring, 2 canine children, and she lives with all of them in Vermont. Check out my interview with Catherine. We have a great time chatting about her books, her writing, and her life coming up now. Catherine, I want to welcome you to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. It's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Jamie. It's great to be here.
So why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about your background, about yourself?
Yes. Well, my name's Catherine Hudson. We know that. I write dark fantasy and dystopian sci-fi. I have been writing since I was 10. It's been quite some time, but professionally it's been for the last 5 years at least. I studied creative writing fiction at the University of Colorado at Boulder, and this was what I have always known that I wanted to do. So just in the last year, it's been a year now, I have moved to writing full-time as a career for a living, combination of my own fantasy and sci-fi plus also ghostwriting for various clients. And yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. You know, you're the first person I've had on that's a ghostwriter, or is at least said that they were a ghostwriter. So
awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm curious about that, because do you feel like that that takes away from your own creativity for your own projects when you write creatively for someone else?
It hasn't yet, actually, which is a really very cool thing. And I'm super grateful for that part. I also, you know, haven't written anything for clients that falls into the genres that I prefer for my own work. So crossover there really isn't a difficult thing to deal with. And, you know, of course, I do like to say that if I come up with any really awesome, amazing ideas, I kind of file those away from my own.
I hear you. No, and I didn't mean that to like be disparaging, because there's a lot of people that have great ghostwriters that, you know, they've made a career for their author pen name, you know, writing alongside ghostwriters, and it's been a great process for them. I just was curious because, you know, it's something that I'd never really considered until at all. And then having you here on the show, it's kind of like, well, you know, what's that process like? Do you kind of block out your days, or do you work on one project at a time? How's that work?
Oh, it all depends on what I've got going on. So, currently right now I write about, 4 books a month for, my clients. And then I'm also working on my own stuff. So, you know, there is more of an incentive for getting paid immediately for writing ghostwriting work.
I understand that completely.
Yeah. But it also is really fantastic in that it keeps me like creatively pumped up and in the zone of just constantly writing. And I've been able to exercise and strengthen my creative muscles and writing muscles, as it were, to the point where, you know, I've always got stuff turning in my head, stuff on the back burner. And, you know, I can switch from book to book, which is actually amazing that I'm able to do that. I can't read more than one book at a time, but I can write more than one book at a time.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I've often thought that writing is really a habit-based activity.
Absolutely.
And the more you do it, even though you don't think of your brain as a muscle, the creative part of it, I think, works like a muscle. And the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets, the more flexible it can get, depending on how you exercise, all those things. And it sounds like you've really become, you know, super flexible and strong and able to put out the things you need to do. And at the same time, really, I think probably that really helps you develop your own voice as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, it's definitely a challenge to be working on, you know, developing a client's voice or matching it, right? And sometimes that can be challenging, but so far, knock on wood, I've been able to overcome those challenges, which is great. But I do have the extraordinary opportunity to be able to be that flexible and bend in those various different ways, for different voices, different genres, different writing styles, and really nail down my own, because I know what I want it to be or what I don't want it to be, what fits with whatever different genre. I think I've written in pretty much every genre except for anything romance, where the overarching plot is driven by a romance. I can't do that, but everything else has gone pretty well so far. It's a fantastic challenge to be able to spread in so many different directions, and kind of, you know, it's just as amazing as reading all of the genres, I think.
Yeah, and I would imagine that it gives you an insight into all of the tropes for those genres, so that if you were to, I don't know, you know, pull in a piece of, you know, mystery or thriller into a fantasy story or a sci-fi dystopian story, you would be able to really fulfill all the beats for that type of story as well, and create a really engaging plot, or secondary plot even.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I have discovered more about tropes and about outlining within various genres and about what works and what doesn't than I could have ever possibly imagined. So, you know, I write so many books and I'm, you know, working on so many different things at once, but it's, I see it all as just learning. It's just so much more growth for me and, more experience for me to stick under my belt. And at the same time, I'm just absolutely in love with the act of writing. I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't in love with just sitting down and writing fiction all day, every day, which I'm incredibly fortunate to be able to do. Because that has always been, you know, my dream in one way or the other. The eventual goal, of course, is to support myself with only my own fiction. Because isn't that the dream, right? But I have in some ways gotten to the dream via a different route, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's a fun road to go down for sure.
Well, no, and I've talked to a lot of writers. I listen to Joanna Penn's podcast, for instance.
Oh yeah.
And you know, she's very vocal about having multiple streams of income, and that's what mm-hmm. you've done. You've created mm-hmm. a way for you to write for other authors, thereby creating all the streams of income that support you while you work on your own fiction.
Exactly.
You know, it's no different than, you know, teaching a course or any of the other things that other authors do, editing, proofreading, all that stuff. This is just another piece of the puzzle.
That's very true. And I actually was editing also in addition. And I did have to start phasing that out of the day job when I started ghostwriting and when I discovered what I can do with the ghostwriting, that it is actually possible to write 4 books in a month. I used to think anyone who said that was just full of it. And I couldn't comprehend how it was possible to write so much in such a seemingly short period of time. And you know, like we were talking about, it is like, you know, exercising and stretching muscles and gaining strength, just in a little less physical discipline. but it's been incredibly fun. So having to move away from the editing, which I had been doing, since just before I started, my indie author career, and published my first book. But, now, I mean, I am absolutely thrilled that I just get to write, you know, Monday through Friday, sometimes Monday through Sunday, depending on what I'm trying to get done. But it's really fun. It's one of my favorite things. And I find that it actually helps move forward, like I said, my own writing, because I'm that's what I do. I eat, sleep, and breathe writing, and then sometimes eat and sometimes sleep. I'm breathing all the time.
Breathing's helpful. It is.
It is. You know, all the oxygen to the brain. We need that.
So let's shift gears, because I want to talk about your books too. And definitely, because I actually just started reading Daughter of the Draken.
Oh, fantastic.
And I'm really enjoying it. It's very, very, it's an intriguing idea, a concept of a child, a human child raised by dragons. You know,
and
I noticed that the top of the blurb, The Jungle Book meets Kill Bill with dragons.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. And I can immediately see, even early on, how this fits in with that blurb. So it's a lot of fun. That whole idea of, you know, raised by wolves, raised by dragons, whatever, is intriguing to me. And you've really created a whole culture of the dragon kind to support behind it. Very much the way that Kipling did with the wolves.
Yes, and that was actually, from the beginning, there was always a sort of a Jungle Book sort of feeling in my head when I started writing it. And that actually, that tagline, The Jungle Book meets Kill Bill with Dragons, I didn't come up with that. I can't take credit for it. That was one of my readers who said, oh my gosh, it's like this. And they nailed it. So
some of my best lines and stuff like that come out of reviews and things from my beta readers and stuff. One of my series is about paramedics who treat supernatural creatures. And somebody said, it's like Grimm, but with paramedics.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
And, you know, like the TV show Grimm, of course. Okay, yeah. That makes perfect sense. So I started using that in some of my ad copy and stuff. So, yeah, it's a nod to all of our readers out there, because they're often way smarter than we are.
Oh, they're so, I mean, they're not in the middle of it, right? It's hard to see where you are when you're right smack in the middle of it. Yeah, no, I mean, we wouldn't be doing this at all if it wasn't for the readers.
So tell me, you know, you got this Jungle Book vibe going on. You've got this great character, Keelan, who she is, you know, has been raised by dragons from a young age. And they've kind of converted her in some ways to be like them or be able to communicate with them. And you know, she's just a fascinating character because she doesn't fit in really in either place, which is what happened to Mowgli in the Jungle Book.
Exactly. Yep. Again, it's a perfect fit. Keelan is raised by these dragons who for centuries and centuries have had this fierce hatred for humankind ingrained in their instincts and their bodies. And she doesn't become a dragon. She's still very physically a human. But she has been raised by these dragons, and she has never seen humans alive, and she's never, she doesn't have any memory of the human world. And so, she knows that she doesn't belong with the dragons, and she's sort of an outcast because they all, really despise her, except for her guardian, who's the one who took her when she was a child. She's got this drive to find out who she is and why she's having these blackouts, which is really the whole basis for this, is that she wakes up with, you know, hours or days of her time gone with these blackouts, and she's always covered in blood. And, you know, she knows that she's killing humans, but which she's totally for, because she hates them just as much as the dragons do, but she cannot stomach the fact that she's not in control. Because she isn't in any other facet of her life. So she goes looking for why she's having these blackouts, finds a human world, and discovers a whole big secret thing while also, you know, becoming an assassin and just being really badass. And her loyalties pretty much lie with herself, which is one of my favorite things about her.
And here's to badass women, because, I love writing those kind of characters. I do it all the time. And, you know, it's fun to explore just all the things that female characters bring to the table. Because, you know, so many epic fantasies to date have been, you know, male-centered characters. And I love that is changing, both in epic fantasy as well as in, of course, urban fantasy has always been heavily weighted towards female main characters. But, you know, it's just nice to see it kind of spreading out from there. And it's really fun to see that in this setting as well.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm so glad. Yeah, I've had a lot of readers comment on the fact that they absolutely love that Keelan doesn't need a man, doesn't need anyone to save her. You know, she's the one who is inadvertently saving other women, or inadvertently, you know, kind of turning things right when she doesn't mean to. That's not her intention at all. And there is a sort of love interest within the duology, both books of Giona's children, but it does not drive the plot, and it doesn't change who Keelan is. You know, whatever kind of romance comes in becomes more of an obstacle for her. I really wanted, when I was writing this, to make a character who was, you know, was super badass and could do whatever she wanted and did whatever she wanted, while also not having to use her physical attributes as a woman in order to get those things done, right? Which is a lot of what I have seen in places with, you know, badass female leads. Okay, well, you gotta give a little, and, you know, hey, feminine wiles are a plus in getting what you want. But that doesn't come into play at all with Keelan. And I love that part about her. And my readers apparently do too, which is super cool.
Yeah. I've had a good response. I mean, I have two grown daughters and I've been writing since they were teenagers, and I've always tried to model my female characters around the strong, independent women I wanted them to grow up to be. And, mm-hmm. and so I always tried to say, this is what, you know, what would I want? And it's come through. I've had the same result from, you know, from a lot of people who've read my, some of my stories. Especially I'm thinking right now of, Carrie, who is, you know, kind of in a swashbuckling fantasy series I have. And she, you know, people have said the same thing. You know, she doesn't need guys. You know, she's surrounded by guys because she's like a pirate captain. So she's got like this crew of men and women. And, you know, some of her lieutenants are constantly vying for her attention. And she's amused by it, but she doesn't give in to it.
Right.
You know, she lets them, she kind of lets them, you know, play off against each other and try to get one-upsmanship on each other. But to her, yeah. It's just an amusing thing that goes on. And she doesn't have time for that nonsense.
That's excellent. And that is, yes, that's it. That's the gold right there. And I know that there have been certain points in my life where I felt exactly the same way. Or, you know, much like Keelan's character, you being in a place of, I just don't care. Like, just stop. It has nothing to do with what I'm trying to accomplish right now. But that is awesome. I love the female pirate captain. That's great.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun series to write in. I've actually been toying with opening up a third trilogy in that series.
Ooh.
Because people keep begging me to go back and visit that land again.
Awesome.
You know, and that's the challenge. I mean, you've got two books in this series. Is that complete at two?
It's complete at two, and I've played with going back and writing sort of like a prequel to way, way, way before when, you know, the dragon gods still walked the earth in this world. I just haven't gotten around to it. I've toyed with it. Yeah.
Well, it's not like you don't have all this free time to write. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I really should be just kicking myself in the ear, right? Like, what am I doing?
No, I'll tell you, actually, a prequel in this series, I think, would be a good fit for, like, a great, you know, little gimme for your people on your, you know, mailing list or whatever, for your real,
yeah.
you know, true fans, and say, hey, you know, I've written this little short story even, and, you know, if you want to get a side view of what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, you know, check it out.
Check
yeah,
it out.
Definitely.
People love that kind of stuff. I wrote a, just on a whim, wrote a Christmas story one year, which is kind of a mocking play on the Elf on the Shelf thing. You know, because the whole paranormal thing, you can have a lot of fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and people, every year, that story's been out there for 3 years now. Every year I just see this huge spike in sales at Christmas time. People just love, you know, 99 cents for this little short story. And I just kind of laugh about it because, you know, it's kind of like I wrote it on a whim. Somebody was like, you should do a holiday story. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll do a holiday story. I'll show you.
And that's the voice I would say it in too. Yeah. Do this. Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, I'm going to get Santa Claus in there and I'm going to get this Elf on the Shelf thing going on. And
people eat it up.
I know.
That's awesome. And also like, oh, people are eating it up. I mean, good for you and good for them that they like it. But it's, I feel like I'm coming from the same place as you are, like, ha ha, fine. I'll just, you know, whatever, sling it.
Well, and I enjoyed writing it and I didn't blow it off by any means.
Right,
but hey,
right.
You know, I mean, people are asking for it. And I'm like, fine. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a week before I can start the next project. And a week later, I'll spend a week on this short story. And, you know, and for you, heck, that would be like an afternoon, sounds like.
Yeah. But you know, not to say that I could have written it any better than you could.
No, but I'm just saying for your story. I mean, I think, you know, that's the way that I would, you know, I would look at like revisiting a completed series would be, mm-hmm. all right, I could go write a prequel or a, you know, take a side character and write a little, you know, what did they do while this was going on in the main storyline and they weren't figuring what were they doing, and, you
right.
know, write a little funny little side story about them and just kind of throw it out there for the fans. And sometimes it, you know, you put a link to the other books in the back there, you end up picking up new readers too. So it's always
very
fun.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So let's, I noticed you had something coming out. I was at your website looking around. By the way, you have an awesome website.
Oh, thank you.
Love the line, "You know what you won't find here? All the dark surprises in my newsletter." Boy, talking about like just reeling them in, right?
Yeah, I
want to sign up for your newsletter now because I want to know what the dark surprises are.
Oh, hey, do it. I mean, that's awesome.
But I noticed the Summoner Thief.
Yeah.
Is coming out soon?
Yes, it is. So that's in the Playing with Fire box set. Firequill Publishers is putting out this box set of, I think it's 14 Forbidden Love themed books that are exclusive to this box set, never before seen, all new stuff. So I know there's a lot of paranormal romance and fantasy romance and sort of like Arthurian legend rewrites, kind of spin-offs on those. And so I've got, I am currently writing the Vessel Broken series, which is an LGBT dark fantasy, and it is in the same world as the Unclaimed trilogy, which I put out last year in 2018. And so the prequel for this series is The Summoner Thief, which is going to be in this box set coming out October 8th. And boy, that's exciting. And so it's fun to be writing. It's fun to be writing a prequel for a series that I'm also still currently working on at the same time. So I started the storyline for Vessel Broken in a very specific place. Actually, everyone dies in the first chapter, but the main character. So it's really cool. And then to be writing this prequel with Summoner Thief, with this box set is really fun because when I already had started writing book one, and then I realized that there was a lot to be explored about how Raleigh, who is the main character in the series, got to where she is in the opening of book one, which is Imlach Fractured. So the Summoner Thief does follow that forbidden love theme within the Playing with Fire box set, but it's not romantic. It's not a happy ending, neither of which I do. So I'm really excited to be bringing this out in October. And it's, you know, really, I take Vessel Broken series in a much, much darker direction than the Unclaimed trilogy, which still has its darker moments. But that was the lightest sort of series that I have written to date. So this is returning back to my super, super dark fantasy roots. You know, starts off with Raleigh as the main character. And in this prequel, she is a thief and she gets caught. And she puts herself through a lot of trouble and gives everyone else a lot of trouble. And she is sold to the Forgotten Priests of Imlach, who live way up in the mountains. No one really knows they exist except for the guy who caught her. And she gets sold to them and becomes a handmaiden for the High Priestess, who is just this wickedly powerful, violent, manipulative person. And those are the characters that I really, really enjoy writing. So I bring in Raleigh as the thief who is sold into the service of Yulza, who is the High Priestess, and it's a battle of the wills, so to speak, with just two incredibly strong and stubborn and bullheaded women who are trying to get something from each other and manipulate each other around that. And it's a very exciting story.
I'm interested because, you know, have you purposely gone in the direction to try to write an LGBT story, or did it just fit the characters when you started coming up with the story?
Both, actually. So my last book, Sleepwater Beat, and that's the first book in the Blue Helix series, and that was the last book I put out, and that's my international bestseller and has won some awards for dystopian sci-fi, which is very, very cool. That is an LGBT book also. And that, when I wrote that book, Leo, who's the main character, writing her as an LGBT character felt right to her, and felt right to the story, and things would have been so completely different if that wasn't part of her character and who she is. And then I realized after writing Sleepwater Bee and seeing how well received that book was, that, you know, there really is a shortage of LGBT fantasy, dark fantasy, sci-fi, that isn't exclusively focused on an LGBT relationship, right?
Like, yes.
This isn't romance, right? It's, you know, as it should be, normalizing LGBT characters in fantasy and sci-fi. And so that's what I'm trying to do now. I'm shifting gears into, you know, into bringing more of that within the LGBT realm, and into the community. And, you know, as I am a part of it, that's important. And I feel like
that's awesome.
Yeah. Something to, look forward to and to, you know, create more of. So it also just really does fit the characters as well, which is good. You know, if it doesn't fit the character, you're not going to force anybody to do
absolutely
anything.
Right. And I'm just curious, because my daughter and her fiance like challenged me. But my daughter, the two of them sat down and like, look, you know, you write like characters like a middle-aged white guy writes characters. And I went, yeah, okay. You're right. I stand accused, and I am guilty. But I mean, it just, you know, I started out writing and I just wrote where I was comfortable, and I needed to stretch that. And mm-hmm. So they said to me, the very same thing you just said was, well, what if you wrote a more diverse characters, an LGBT character book, but it wasn't about that.
Yeah.
It was a story, and they just happened to be gay or lesbian or whatever. And I went, well, I can do that. And I actually had this, and it's funny, this is dystopian sci-fi, because I wrote, I'm finishing up a trilogy, should be coming out October-ish, of a dystopian sci-fi trilogy, where I was like, I had these ideas for a character, and I was like, well, you know, she's going to have a romantic interest of some sort, because that kind of fits into the storyline. It won't be about the romance, but it's there. And I went, it can be a guy or a girl. It doesn't matter, because, you know, that's, you know, love is love is love. Right. So it doesn't matter. And so I just said, well, okay, we can make this work. And so I wrote it, and I would send them a couple of chapters, and I'm like, you know, because I wanted to be authentic. Right. And I didn't, you know, I didn't want to like miss anything and be stupid middle-aged white guy again. So, you know, I sent it to my daughter and Hannah, and they would look at it, and they would send me back notes and say, it looks pretty good, fix this, or, you know, maybe do this, or this is not enough, or whatever. And I've really gotten a lot of response from it. It's been very interesting. So much so that I've started really thinking about every character from my books moving forward, of like, should they be bi or lesbian or gay or heterosexual, and kind of as a spectrum of things, and trying to fit that together with my stories moving forward to be more diverse.
Right. And that is so awesome. And it is, you know, that's such an important thing to consider when we're creating characters. You know, like we think about like, where's their background and who are their parents and what do they like and what do they don't like, and, you know, really getting to know the characters. And I feel like a lot of the time that, I mean, you know, like sexual orientation or relationship status or experience, or, you know, any kind of, you know, self identification in any way, a lot of the times that gets overlooked, just because it's easy, you know, because it's easy when we're writing characters that reflect, ourselves, or, you know, where we're most comfortable. And, you know, I say that, but then oddly enough, the main character of Sleepwater Bee, my dystopian sci-fi, has more of myself in her than I've ever written into any other character. So it was that was never a question that I had to ask. But it's good. It's good to be exploring those now with every single character that you're coming up with. I love to hear that. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because when they were like, you got the romance stuff right, Dad. How'd you do that? And I'm like, well, I just tried to think about what it was like when Mom and I were younger.
Yeah.
And I just kind of said, what would I do in that situation?
Yeah.
And, you know, and they said, well, you did okay. So I was like, all right, score one for dad.
Yeah, hey. Parent points. Gotta love it.
I gotta take them where I can get them, you know? And,
you do. You do. I'm still waiting for mine. I have a 2-year-old.
Well, you know, you're at that age where, you know, they're just not listening to anything sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm waiting for my points. I'll cash them in at some date later, maybe. See.
So I want to make sure we get a couple of things done because I want to make sure that people know where to find you. So yeah. Where can people catch up with you online if they want to connect, if they want to ask you a question about something they've read in one of your books? Where's the best place to reach you so that they can interact?
Yes, best place to reach me for interacting is actually on my Facebook page. So that's Catherine Hudson Fiction. I am on there quite a bit, actually, and I love, one of my favorite things in the world is interacting with my readers. I also have a reader group. It's called Exquisite Wait What? With Catherine Hudson. That is more of a trajectory away from, you know, the professional, I'm an author, look at all these authory things I do, and more of just the hilarious things that happen in my head. So I love people joining up there too and looking at all my funny stuff. I post random, completely out of context lines of my work in progress and just all kinds of funny stuff. So that's the best place to interact with me. There's also my website, which you so wonderfully complimented. Thank you, Jamie. It's CatherineHudsonFiction.com. I'm on Instagram at CatherineHudsonFiction and Twitter at ExquisitelyDark.
And I just want to point out to folks that are listening, if they don't go and check out, I will have links to everything on the website over at fantasy-focus.com for this podcast episode, but it's Catherine with a K, no E at the end, and Hudson, H-U-T-S-O-N, fiction.com. And yes. You guys will love it. That's great. She's got her book covers on the front. Sign up for that crazy newsletter. I am. And it's awesome. I'm definitely sending my daughter Sleepwater Beat. I'm going to get her to take a look at that. She's always asking me if I know of any good books to read, and I think she'll enjoy it.
I love that. Thank you. I hope she enjoys it too.
Catherine, I want to have you back on. Definitely check in with me, you know, down the road when you have something, another set books or series or something else you want to talk about. We'd love to have you back on.
That would be fantastic. I would love to join you again. Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us online. We have a whole lot more to offer you as part of our Fantasy Focus community. I'm part of that community over on Facebook. Just search for Fantasy Focus and check out all the great people and conversations that happen over there. And of course, this podcast lives over at fantasy-focus.com. Right there in the top of the page, you'll find the podcast tab. You can then scroll down and find this episode if you want to leave a comment, because I love to hear what's on your mind. Also, on each of those podcast episode posts, there's a link right at the top where the audio player is, where you can subscribe to the show. So do that. Make sure you subscribe. You don't want to miss any episodes because we have some awesome guests already scheduled for the next few months. The next one coming up is Fonda Lee, which was just a fantastic person to chat with. She's quite well known, a great author, and we talk a great deal about her books and a lot of great things. So make sure you come back and check it out. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I am the author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook, either in my Fun Fantasy Readers group or at Jamie Davis Books, my author page, and of course at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where if you want to check out my writing for free, you can do that. Just sign up for the email newsletter over there, and it'll send you a link to download a free ebook to check out. And I'd love to have you do that. The newsletter is not obligatory, so once you get that link, you can unsubscribe, and I'll never bother you again. But I do send out updates, both special deals that some author friends of mine author about once a week or once every 2 weeks, as well as updates on what I'm up to. So if you want to keep up with me there, you can certainly do that. Whatever you do, though, subscribe to the podcast. Come back here and catch the next episode. And in the meantime, don't forget to do what I tell you to do every week, folks. You got to keep your eyes open, because whether you know it or not, there's magic all around you.